The UK Report.
And it's time to say good morning to Gavin Gray. And Gavin, we start with UK Prime Minister Theresa May being told that she has 2 weeks to put more money on the table if the EU is to agree to begin the trade talks regarding Brexit before the end of the year.
Good morning, Africa. Yes, I think she pretty much thought that that was going to happen. But what they're hoping, of course, is to really get these trade talks underway, but the EU remaining pretty resistant, being accused of being a bit intransigent, of sticking to their sort of politics rather than listening to their businesses and industries, who are also very keen to strike a trade deal with the UK. It is, after all, a massive trade partner. And the Council President, Donald Tusk, said he is ready to move on to the next phase of Brexit talks covering future relations with the UK, but says we need much more progress on this so-called divorce bill. It is rumoured that Theresa May has offered £20 billion, so roughly the 370 billion South African rand mark. But that looks like that's not enough for the Europeans, who say, well, what about all the pensions of the workers that we're going to have to pay? Of course, Britain is a major contributor to the European Union, and when it leaves, then some countries are either going to have to pay in more, or some countries are going to have to receive less in grants and funds, or perhaps a combination of the two. And that's why things are getting particularly squeamish, shall I say, over this divorce particular issue. The other factor that seems to have deadlocked things and being stirred a little bit by the Irish Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, is that there is, of course, now going to be a border between Ireland and Northern Ireland belonging to the UK, and Leo Varadkar saying he doesn't want a hard border between the two. So lots of work to be done, and the clock is ticking.
It is indeed. A 22-year-old Norwegian student has been handed a 250,000 kroner fine for drinking and driving. But apparently she can still count herself lucky.
Yes, that is because fines for drink driving and speeding in much of Scandinavia, but in Norway, are based on income and wealth rather than a set standard of fine. So there have been cases of very, very wealthy people with big incomes being fined a lot. But this particular student, Katarina Andersen, is reportedly Norway's richest woman. She's got a fortune estimated at about 17 billion South African rand. Her father gave her a 42% share in the family-owned investment company in 2007, and she was declared the world's second youngest billionaire. Now, she was caught drink-driving. The interesting thing is that actually the level of alcohol in her blood would here in the UK have still actually been under the legal limit. But in Norway, it wasn't. And so she was given this fine, 250,000 kroner. Now, translating that out, that works at roughly 350,000 South African rand for a drink driving offense. 350,000 South African rand. But as I said, it could have been much worse. Now, the interesting thing is a lot of the fines are based on income. And because she's still a student, she has very little income. But she is worth an awful lot of money. But the court took a bit of that into account when they fined her.
350,000 rand is certainly more than a home for many South Africans, and she's been fined for drinking and driving. Let's keep it matters alcohol, shall we? In Scotland, that country becoming the first one in the world to establish a minimum price per unit of alcohol.
Yes, and I think this has been subject to long legal battles and wrangles. But what they're trying to do is tackle the alcohol problem that there is in Scotland. There are some pretty damning figures about how many people in Scotland are either alcoholic or the increase in deaths that they note in Scotland because of the alcoholic problems. And what the government's aim there is to reduce the amount that problem drinkers can consume simply by raising the price of the strongest, cheapest alcohol. So the move is not a tax or a duty increase. It's a price hike for the cheapest drink. And any extra cash goes to the retailer. So it's simply not in the interest of the manufacturer to make it so cheap that the price has to be boosted. And the Whiskey Association in the UK has said that this was a restriction on their trade. and there were much more effective ways of tackling alcohol misuse. There's also some suggestion people will start to make their own sort of alcohol, their bootleg alcohol, if you like. But a small number of countries, Canada, Russia, have some form of minimum price structure. Many others have rules aimed at restricting cheap alcohol sales. But Scotland's is going out on its own on this. And it, for the cheapest and strongest alcohol, will be a significant price rise. The new laws are experimental. They will expire after 6 years unless they're renewed. But Scotland's saying we really have to tackle this, and this is the way we're going to do it and see how it goes.
The newly appointed UK Gay Times editor, Josh Rivers, has been sacked over offensive tweets, apparently, that he posted in the past.
Yes, I shouldn't laugh, but you're always laughing slightly cynically and schadenfreude way when a much-heralded appointment to an international and national magazine goes wrong. When Josh Rivers was appointed by Gay Times, I think he was described as something like the first gay and black editor, or from an ethnic background, I think was the description I read once. But he's lasted less than a month in post. So despite all the heralding about how they'd broken the mold on this, I'm afraid it ended up being a terrible embarrassment for the Gay Times. And the reason is they effectively had to sack him in the end because somebody found some tweets that he had written. Now, a lot had been removed, but he had written tweets that were racist against the Chinese, against transphobic, homophobic, and anti-Semitic. There were a couple about people who were Jews in there, which were truly pretty awful, the ones that I read. He since apologized. Also, incidentally, he had made remarks about obese people and children with disabilities. And it really was the whole gamut of hatred, I'm afraid, coming out for different backgrounds. He said, look, I'm really sorry. This was quite a time ago. And it was because I was lonely and in a really self-loathing state that I wrote these things. But I've now learned how to be more accepting, and that's why I'd make such a good editor of this magazine. But Gay Times decided that they simply couldn't tolerate such views, pointed out that some of the tweets had been made less than 3 years ago, and said really it is their role to promote inclusivity. So the very magazine that is supposed to promote inclusivity had accidentally appointed somebody who perhaps was the very last person that they would have wanted.
One would have hoped that they would have checked this before actually appointing the person only a month ago. Now, a local council in the UK has been asked by police to abandon a trial to cut electricity bills by switching off streetlights at midnight. Why?
Because they've noticed a spike in crimes. Yes, this is Oadby, a village or town in Leicester in the Midlands. And the council, to save money, decided that sort of from midnight onwards, they would switch off the streetlights, thereby saving quite a significant sum of money. However, 27 homes had been broken into in just a six-week period, and police said, look, this, we believe, is as a direct result, this spike in crime, because quite simply the streetlights aren't on and it's easier for burglars to simply melt into the night, as it were. So they begged the council to reverse their decision. The council has now reversed the decision. The lights are back on. But, of course, meanwhile, police are actually trying to track down the people behind these burglaries. They have made a series of raids, incidentally, and it is said that they have recovered some property. But perhaps a lesson in how saving money can sometimes, in the end, actually end up costing you more.
Indeed. Now, the UK is considering a tax on takeaway boxes in a bid to tackle the problem of plastic waste.
Yes, it's our autumn statement on Wednesday. The autumn statement is basically a chance for the government to lay out its latest financial taxes or its latest financial measures. And one that we're receiving a bit of a tip-off about is that the government's looking for an investigation, really, into whether a tax on the use of the most environmentally damaging single-use plastics would help. Now, single-use plastics include packaging, bubble wrap, and polystyrene takeaway boxes. Greenpeace says the ocean plastic pollution is a global emergency. So it is possible the government may consider slapping a tax of 1 or 2 pence, so not very much, but just a little bit on each thing, in order to try and reduce this. Now, the government here did put 5 pence, so about 1 South African rand, on plastic supermarket bags. I know in much of South Africa you use wonderful paper bags, and I must say I do think they're much more environmentally friendly. Here in the UK, it's just plastic, plastic, plastic. So the government slapped on this 1 rand charge per bag. And Britain had been wasting basically enough to fill a massive sport hall or a massive structure like the Royal Albert Hall, it was said, 1,000 times. And birds, sea mammals, turtles have died from consuming or becoming tangled in the plastic waste. But since they introduced that plastic bag charge, all of a sudden, the number of plastic bags being used has absolutely plummeted. And people are now using much sturdier bags or boxes or, as I mentioned, these paper bags. And so I think the government is looking at this thinking, perhaps if we introduce a tax on this as well, that might be a result.
Gavin Gray, thank you very much as always. Gavin will be back with the UK report next week, Sunday.